إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله تعالى فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، we begin in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the exalted, the King of kings, the most merciful and the bestower of all mercy. Whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to guide, then none can lead astray, and whoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses to leave astray, none can guide. And we testify that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the only being worthy, deserving of our complete, unconditional love, obedience, and worship. And we testify that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was his final prophet and messenger, sending peace and blessings upon him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and his wives and his family members and his companions, and all those who choose to follow their footsteps until the day of judgment, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow his favor upon us and include us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, we spoke last week about the importance of continuing after Ramadan, having istiqamah, having steadfastness, not turning back from coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after a month straight of doing so. And today we're continuing in a similar topic, addressing now how to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, addressing some concerns a person may have in trying to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Concerns that may arise when considering, how can I stay steadfast? How can I continue? How can I keep going in this journey and increase in the enthusiasm, in the drive I have to come close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And when you consider being steadfast, continuing after Ramadan, keeping your commitment towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regardless of the season, throughout the entire year, throughout your entire life, it may be overwhelming, especially if this is the first step for you. You may feel overwhelmed, I cannot keep that same drive as I had in Ramadan. Where do I begin? I cannot see myself as that religious person, quote unquote. So where do I start? What do I do? This is a question, a concern that arises with many people when it comes to practicing or religiosity. Also, they have worries and fears. If I become religious, I will be discriminated against. There's a lot at stake here. My career, my reputation. People will look at me differently, will speak to me differently, will treat me differently. So these are concerns for people, for us, people who want to continue on that path of steadfastness, journeying towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you're amongst those people who don't know how to begin, or who are worried about the consequences of religiosity, of taking your deen seriously, wondering how that affects your life, your finances, your family, your job, then I want us to spend, in that case, a few moments on this hadith that will answer all of these concerns, that will be a guideline for all of us in this journey. And it's a very well-known hadith. Most people likely have heard it before. Hadith narrated by Bukhari, by the companion Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna Allah ta'ala qal." This is a hadith qudsi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is relaying it to us. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man aada li waliyan faqad adantuhu bil harb. Wa ma taqarraba ilayya 'abdi bi shay'in ahabba ilayya mimma aftaradtuhu 'alayhi. وما يزال عبدي يتقرب إلي بالنوافل حتى أحبه فإذا أحببته كنت سمعه الذي يسمع به وبصره الذي يبصر به ويده التي يبطش بها ورجله التي يمشي بها وإن سألني لأعطينه ولئن استعاذني لأعيذنه وما ترددت عن شيء أنا فاعله ترددي عن نفس المؤمن يكره الموت وأنا أكره مساءته. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the Prophet and son, that the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who is saying these words. That whoever shows animosity to one of my allies, one of my close friends, then I declare war against them. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaking. And out of all the things the servant can do to come close to me, nothing is more beloved to me out of all those actions that bring someone closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the things that I made obligatory upon him or her. And my servant continues to come close to me with the extra actions now, beyond what's obligatory, until I love them. And if I love them, when I love them, then I become their hearing with which they hear, and their sight with which they see, and their hand with which they strike or grab, and their legs or their feet with which they walk. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and if this person who came close, who did the obligations, the extra actions, who is a wali of Allah, a friend of Allah, an ally of Allah, a supporter of Allah, all these are the meanings of the word wali and more. If this person, this wali, were to ask me, I will surely give them. And if they were to seek protection, refuge in me, I would surely give that to them. I would surely protect them. And I do not hesitate for anything that I do in the way that I hesitate in taking the soul of a believing person. They hate death, and I hate to hurt them. This is the hadith that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relayed to us. So a few quick stops, benefits, fuel that we can take from this hadith in our journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala in the beginning, whoever shows animosity to a wali of mine, then I will declare war against them. And this addresses the concern that everyone has. If I increase in religiosity, I'll be targeted. I'll be discriminated against. I'll be oppressed. And look at the Muslim situation around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant the Muslims all over the world victory and patience. Allahumma ameen. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you come closer, if you try, if you journey, take those steps towards me, and you come closer to the point that you're an ally, you're a friend, then whoever is your enemy is my enemy. Whoever shows you animosity, the word ada is a very general word. Any animosity, it could mean physical, it could mean verbal, it could just mean hatred. Any type of animosity, transgression falls under that word ada. So whoever does any of that to my ally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, I'm with you. I declare war against that person. I will be the one who defends you. Your honor, your dignity, your physical well-being, your finances are under my protection. I will be the one who protects them. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, if you become a wali, if you journey closer, if you try harder. And then he said subhanahu wa ta'ala, how do you begin that? He knows that once we hear that, we'll want to be a wali of Allah. I want to come closer. What do I do? Where do I start? There's so many different actions, so many different worship, so much different rulings. Where do I begin? He tells us, there's nothing you can do that's more beloved to me than what I made obligatory. And this, the follow-up question would be, okay, what do I do to become a wali? He said, he tells us, the best thing is to do what I made obligatory and to stay away from which I made prohibited. The must, the obligation, things that are fard or wajib, in which he didn't give us a choice, he commanded that we do them or stay away from them. He's telling us this is the number one path to come close. This is what I love the most. And we needed that. That's why he made an obligation. He made an obligation because we needed to do that action. That's the bare minimum. Or that thing is so harmful, we must stay away from. We need to stay away from. So he made it prohibited. So these musts, these obligations, he's telling us that is what I love the most out of all the things that you can do. That is the number one way to start coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to becoming a wali, to becoming his ally, his close friend subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only is it the way, but it is the description of a wali, the person who does what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands and stays away from what he forbids. That is the most basic definition of a wali, a close ally of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says, من كان مؤمنا تقيا كان لله وليا. Whoever is a believer who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is conscious of Him at all times, fulfills His duty towards Him, then that person is a wali of Allah. That person is an ally, a close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By doing what you are obligated with and staying away from that which you are prohibited from. This is how you become a close ally of Allah. And He didn't make this up. He took it from the verse of Allah in Surah Yunus where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَهُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Indeed, the people who are awliya of Allah, who are close to Him, there is no fear upon them, nor shall they grieve. There's nothing to be afraid of. They'll never be sad. And who are they? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those who believed in Allah and had taqwa, had consciousness of Him, fear and obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, these are all incentives and guidelines for coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You begin with that which He made obligatory. And then He says, because for some people that's not enough. They want to come even closer. They want to come as close as possible because this isn't a loved one, this isn't a child. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their creator, and their love for Him outmatches everything else. So they're not satisfied with just doing what He made obligatory, what He told them they have to do. They want to come even closer. So for them He says subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيْهِ بِالنَّوَافِلْ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. After the obligation, my servant continues to come close with the nafs, that which is extra. Things that you don't have to do but are good, the Prophet and taught us these are extra prayers, extra fasting, extra sadaqah. That's beyond the obligation, but for whoever is interested to come even closer. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this person continues to come close with these actions, the extra actions, the nafs actions, and what does that earn them? Until I love them. That earns them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. And in these two sentences, He's telling us also, there's levels of wilaya, levels of being a wali of Allah. Not everyone is the same in status with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person is close, but this person is even closer. Until this person has the maximum closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what happens then? What happens to the person is constantly striving, constantly coming closer, constantly doing the obligations, staying away from prohibitions, and then the nafs acts as well. Very careful about them, not letting them pass them by. Then what happens? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I become their hearing and their sight and their hands and their feet. And what does that mean? What does it mean that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes your hands, or your eyes, or your feet, or your ears, as He said subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the scholars offered a variety of explanations. One of the more popular ones that many of the scholars supported is that this means that He will safeguard all of these things from ever doing something that He does not love. You strove so hard to make sure that these hands, and these eyes, and this tongue, and these feet didn't do anything, didn't see anything, didn't hear anything, except that which He loves subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for that, He says, I will seal these things, these faculties, the hands, the feet, the eyes, the ears, from ever falling to something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes. He protects them. He safeguards them. And the scholars also offered another explanation, meaning what does it mean that He becomes the hearing and the seeing and the hands and the feet? Is that if you look to this person, this wali, the person who's constantly coming closer, if you looked at his eyesight or her hearing or his hands or her feet, what do they do? What do they establish? What do they build? In those things you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You will see His will. You will see what He's pleased with. And you will never see anything else besides that. This is the height of faith, where you become a living manifestation of the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is also one of the meanings of the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala where He told the angels, إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. I will make on the earth a deputy, a successor, meaning an implementer of the will of Allah. That's what we were supposed to be. Despite our imperfections, we were supposed to try our best to be living manifestations of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, of what He is pleased with. So this is the ultimate goal, to come this close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the point where you're almost on autopilot. I no longer have to struggle with the prohibitions and the commands. They come, they flow out of me willingly, because of me striving for years, and first and foremost because of the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His guidance, His love manifesting on my body, my faculties, my hearing, my sight, my power, my strength, my hands and my feet. This is the end goal for all of us. It should be. This should be what we have in front of us. Until I can look at myself, my life, and see the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I need to keep coming closer. I'm not satisfied with where I am now. I want to continue to strive to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that His close servants, by virtue of being close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, He becomes their ally. He becomes their supporter. He becomes their special caretaker. He's the caretaker of everything that exists. But He's telling us here that there's some people who He has assigned a special care. The people who are especially close to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another lesson is that we have to begin with that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory. This is the measuring stick of our religiosity. This is the litmus test to see if we are succeeding or we are failing. It begins with obligation. When it comes to my wealth, I look at the obligatory zakah first. When it comes to my salah, I look at the 5 daily prayers first. When it comes to fasting, I perfect my Ramadan first. When it comes to rituals, I look at my hajj first. Because these are the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made obligatory. These are the things where He didn't give me an option. He said, you must do this. You need to do this. So this is where you begin. So strive hard and pour your utmost effort into the obligations before anything else. And from the mercy and the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that the obligations by themselves are enough to get you there. They're enough to get you close. They're enough to get you to Jannah. But because we're all human and we have countless shortcomings and we forget and we get tired, He gave us endless acts of worship that are extra for those who want to come closer and for those who want to fill the gap in their worship. But we begin with the obligations, that is what we focus on first. We give that priority over everything that is nafil. And this is very important to emphasize. For some people it might be obvious. Of course I have to emphasize on that which Allah made obligatory. But when you look at us as a Muslim ummah, you don't see that. Because tarawih is packed, but a lot of people miss obligatory prayers. Because everyone fasts Ramadan, for example. But they may fall short in making up their fast. Everyone fasts Ramadan, which is an obligation, but they may fall short in other, they come to Tarawih, rather, that was the example, and then they miss their obligatory prayers. Or that they are constantly giving sadaqah in Ramadan, but they neglect to calculate their zakah, as it should be, detailed calculation, looking closely into their finances and their estate and what they own. Or they may, you know, focus on, for example, inviting one another to meal. But then they'll forget, they'll neglect to feed the needy. This is what we do as humans. We do what feels good, what looks good, what, you know, is popular. We're easily swayed by this. But when it comes to obligation, we may drag our feet. We may say, well, I could do this later. We may say, well, there's different approaches. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, the obligations please me the most. The obligations get you closer. And the other things are good, but the obligations are the priority. Next lesson, and we'll mention two more in close, inshallah, for the first khutbah, is that this hadith teaches us the importance of learning. So now you hear that there's obligations and that there's extra action. But not all obligations are the same, and not all nafil is the same. There's degrees. Some obligations are more important than others. And some nafs are more important than others. How do you differentiate? Where do you start? You begin by learning. The 5 pillars of Islam, the most basic. The 6 pillars of Iman, the most basic. The Salah, you begin with the basics and you learn. Then you know what to prioritize. Then if there's ever a conflict where you can only perform one thing over the other, you know which one to choose, you know which one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prefers. You know what will be more pleasing to Him and is more worthwhile of your time and your money. So you must learn these things. You cannot navigate haphazardly and do this today and then tomorrow you're doing something else. One person tells you one thing, another person contradicts it, and you're lost. You don't know how to come close, you don't know how to begin this journey. So you have to take up that effort to learn properly. What is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demanding of you? What does He recommend? What has He prohibited? What does He dislike? You differentiate between all these actions and these acts of worship by learning. Continuously learning the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next lesson is the importance of the sunan, the nafl acts of worship. What is their importance? What do they do for you? They directly earn you Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love. If you are diligent in performing them and safeguarding the obligation, then Allah will love you. Do you want anything else? Is there any other greater goal than that? To earn the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be beloved by Him. Because everyone claims to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but how many does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly love Himself? It's not a mystery. He gave us the rubric, He gave us the guidelines. Those who are people of taqwa, people who are conscious of Allah, people who are trying to come close, people who perform the nafl acts of worship, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves them. And lastly, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us in this hadith the gravity, the grave nature, the seriousness of showing animosity to one of his allies. To show animosity, hatred, let alone to actually act upon it and harm an ally of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the result of that is Allah declares war on this person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creators of the heavens and the earth, the controller of everything that exists. He's the one who makes the decisions and implements His will. His will is the only one that is implemented without conditions, without any setback, without any hurdles to overcome. His plan is the only one that comes to fruition exactly as He intended and exactly as He planned it, subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His perfection. He will be your ally, He will be your supporter, He will be your protector. And He's telling us it's so serious to declare animosity to someone close to Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is important for two reasons. One is that you never falter, you never be afraid, you never lose hope, you never worry for your safety, the safety of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is their protector. Whatever may happen, however it may appear for now, this is not the end. This is not the end game. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something planned. He will not let His servant down. He will not let His allies down. He is their supporter, no matter how it may appear at the time being. This is number one. Number two is that you never dare to transgress against a Muslim. And this you'll find in many of the teachings of the scholars and the Salaf, many quotes that say, I would fear oppressing my Muslim brother or sister in the least, because perhaps this person is a wali, and I don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, whoever shows any animosity to a wali of mine, I declare war against them. So I'll never shortchange a Muslim. I will never take any of their wealth unjustly. I will never physically harm them. I'll never transgress against their honor. Because I don't know how close this person is, and I cannot risk war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Everything, every other problem has a solution. We can work it out, we can discuss. But if my Lord is declaring war against me, what hope do I have? Where can I flee? Who can protect me? What excuse can I offer? This is the gravity of the situation. This is how serious it is. So let us be Muslim brothers and sisters together in harmony. Let us pick at our relationships and make sure there's no transgression involved out of respect and obedience and devotion to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first and foremost, and then to our fellow Muslim brothers and sisters. وَقُولُوا قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِي وَلَكُمْ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا إِنَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وبعد. For the righteous, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is their ultimate ally, first and foremost, first and last. And the closer a person comes, that is all that they see. This is how they weigh everything. And this is the lens through which that they look at the rest of the world and everything that occurs. And it gives them hope, it gives them strength, it gives them fuel, it allows them to persevere. And this is our goal, this is what we were speaking about last week. So the people who know this, they act accordingly. They begin to analyze and evaluate, again like we were saying before, and then they make their life fit into the descriptions of these ayat and these ahadith. And thus they make it, they arrive, despite their shortcomings, despite their sins, they get there. They come closer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws them close, He gives them the tawfiq, He blesses their lives, He blesses their wealth, and then they succeed in their life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us amongst them. Allahumma ameen. The last part of the hadith quickly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, after becoming, protecting all of their faculties from disobeying Him or forever from ever falling into things that He dislikes, He says, if this person, this wali, were to ask me, I would forgive him, and if they were to seek protection, I would protect them. And I do not hesitate in doing anything. The way that I hesitate in taking their soul, they hate death, and I hate to harm them. So these people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answers their dua. He offers them protection. He protects them when they need it. He is a close ally in the greatest meaning of the word, more than any human being or organization or country can offer. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then lastly, he says, I do not hesitate in doing anything. Why do we hesitate? You hesitate because you're afraid. You hesitate because you're not sure. You're not sure about what you're doing at the moment, or you're not sure about the consequences. You hesitate because your knowledge is limited. And none of these things apply to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His knowledge is the fullest knowledge. He fears nothing and everything fears him. He is completely able and sure and knowledgeable of what he's doing and the countless outcomes and what would have been the outcomes if these outcomes hadn't happened. So why does he hesitate? He's telling us, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he cares so much about this person's feelings. He cares so much about this person's comfort that it bothers him to take their soul. But it is something that he wrote on all creation. All living things must die. So he will take the soul nonetheless. But he does not like it. He's telling us he doesn't enjoy the difficulty you face. He doesn't enjoy the pain you endure. But he allows this because it is something that is better for you. It will raise you to a level that you couldn't have reached otherwise. And that's also another explanation of this last sentence, that he is especially careful about not causing this person harm, but he will allow it to happen for a greater benefit. What is the greater benefit here? When this person dies, they'll go to Jannah. So despite death being painful, a difficulty, something that all humans hate, he allows it to pass for this person, despite not liking to harm this person, because it is bringing them even closer now. Now it's bringing them physically closer to the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala write it for all of us.
Amen.
So, the final point, this hadith shows us that the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being religious, quote unquote, coming closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not some kind of blocky, objective journey. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. He guides you every step of the way. He is aware and he is attentive and he is knowledgeable, he is hearing and he is seeing of the struggles that you go through, of the pain that you endure, of the oppression that you might be subjected to. And he's telling you how to keep going, and he's telling you that he is with you and that he will support you and that he will protect you. And he's telling you at the end, it bothers me that you are bothered. I hate that you are pained, but you are heading towards something greater. So when we look at these ahadith in conjunction with the other concepts that we're mentioning of istiqamah and continuing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will give us the strength to do what we're supposed to do. It will give us the understanding to abstain from what we're prohibited from. It will give us the fuel to keep going. But if we don't look at these things, we don't learn our deen, we don't take any active effort in learning and coming closer, we'll be oblivious to all of this. We'll be hamstrung, handicapped in our journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We may not even make it. We may turn around and choose a different path. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. So we should be encouraged. We should take strength in these things. We should take from them the fuel that we need to keep going. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all steadfast. May He steal all our faculties, our eyes and our ears and our legs and our hands from ever disobeying Him or journeying or producing anything that is displeasing to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahumma khfir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat ahya minhum wal amwat. Allahumma arna al haqqa haqqan warzuqna tiba'ah wa arna al batila batilan warzuqna ijtinabah. Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما صلى الله وبارك على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وأقم الصلاة